Hey everyone, Freddie Wong here.
And Des Dali.
Welcome to the Phase Rocker Podcast number 37. This week we sit down with Sam Gorski, Nico Perringer, and Jake Watson of Corridor Digital. You know these guys. You've seen their videos. They make fantastic
rad
stuff.
Rad YouTubers slash former roommates.
That's true. We used to live with them. We talk a little bit about our time living together, cool movie ideas, back when we were living together, a really funny story about a music gig. I won't spoil it. It's fantastic. YouTube and also...
We may get into a little bit of new D&D action.
Not on the podcast, just we talk about it. You don't have to worry about that. Those of you watching the video, don't have to look at that. Indiegogo campaign for VGHS Season 3 is rounding that final corner. Time's running out for you to get in on some really cool campaign exclusive
perks.
Just
added a lot of new perks.
That's true. Yeah, we have with Loot Crate, we have a really, really cool $50 level, which is a special VGHS themed mystery mega loot crate, and also a board game with that we're doing with Plaid Hat Games. Those guys are some of the best board game
designers. They make a lot of really great stuff.
Really fantastic board game designers. You can get that as well before it comes out in stores off of the campaign. Netflix. Who doesn't have a Netflix account at this point?
I can think of one man, my brother.
Oh my gosh.
Big Mooch.
You know what? There's a lot of moochers out there. Stop mooching. Stop mooching from your parents, from your older siblings.
Well, we have a perfectly good reason why.
Exactly. If you head on over to netflix.com/rocketjump, you can get a 1 month free trial, free, all the Netflix you could possibly consume. There's a lot of hours. There's a lot of TV that you can fit into 30 days.
So many hours.
Of free Netflix. So head on over there, netflix.com/rocketjump. Oh, Video Game High School Season 1 and 2 on there as well. Support the podcast, support the show, and sign up through our link. It'll help us out quite a bit. Anyone else will help us out, actually.
What's that?
Subscribing to this podcast on iTunes. Now, I know some of you out there have already done that. If so, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. For those of you watching it on YouTube or a little more casual with it, it takes no effort. Head on over to iTunes, find our podcast. We'll put links up on our site and on the YouTube video. Hit subscribe. Your computer will do all the work for you, and it helps us out immensely in terms of getting this show out there.
It'd be much appreciated.
Anyway, enough yammering. Onto the show.
Remember Joe's bachelor party when we were out in
Big
Bear?
Oh, yeah.
And we introduced Daystorm and Dave Days to the concept of a BB gun.
Oh, my God.
That was really surprising.
No, it was great. Like, we would stay up to, like, you know, 2, 3 a.m. just, like, partying, playing pool, doing all the, you know, the Big Bear cabin
cool
biz.
Stuff.
And then, like, you know, I wake up, like, really early. At times, even after partying. So, like, I was, like, up at, like, I only slept for, like, 4 hours, and I, like, wake up, and I get out onto, like, the frickin' kitchen, and I see through the door, like, Daystorm and frickin' Danebo are...
Dave Days.
Dave Days. Whatever.
Same basically. Person. Doesn't matter for the story, Nico.
So, basically, at 6 a.m., I'm in the kitchen making some flapjacks and freaking flapjacks, and lo and behold, they're out on the deck already at 6 a.m. and they're just sitting there, just silent, shirts off, just like blasting away just pellet rifles. Just sitting there, just like literally, like they're up all night, just like sitting there shooting off
like,
the balcony.
I want to know what the story that was. Who do you think, like, Daystorm woke up and was like, yo, you want to shoot this thing? It's like, hey, quick, let me take off my shirt first.
Well, Daystorm wanted to shoot that bird, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to get his first, like, real kill.
All these pussies are just shooting cans.
Which you really can't with, like, with a round BB gun, you know what I mean? Like, you need, like, a pellet, like a hunter pellet.
No. Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. Unless you get an RHOP, then it's accurate.
It happened.
Oh.
Remember the lady next door called the cops because she found a wounded bird in her yard?
Oh, God.
And the cop came while we were unloading, and he's like, heard reports that you guys may have shot a bird. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, yep. Oh, well.
Don't actually do it, because once you're like, oh, I'm going to shoot a bird, and then you actually shoot it, you're like, why did I do that? I just shot a bird.
So bad.
Yeah.
Well, Matt has a good idea. Matt has a good BB gun story.
Which?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, he's got a lot of them.
There's one insane one.
How many of us have killed an animal with a BB gun?
I.
Two?
Two?
Two of us?
What? You guys...
Yeah, I've slain paper targets.
Here we are with Corridor Digital Animal Slayers.
It was justified. It was a rodent that was eating away the house. My dad asked me to take
care of it. One was justified on my end. One was not. I was young.
You got two notches in your pellet, right?
So you have like the 11-year-old coming of age short story that you put in the magazine.
Yeah. Where,
that you just turned into a college essay.
Then one was actually a pest, and it was dive bombing my dogs.
And, yo, yeah,
that's fair then.
Yeah.
Like all the time, constantly.
Wait, dive bombing your dogs?
All the time.
So Matt, find the explosives.
You guys, you have to hear Matt's story.
Oh, it was a bird.
This.
Oh. I was thinking like a rabbit.
No, it's not. You guys have to
get it. Matt doesn't want to tell
that story. That's not
a
story. No, Ashley got shot in the head with a hunting rifle.
With a hunting rifle?
Or the hunting pellets. Like the, at USC.
Yeah, at school.
At USC.
I like how Matt casually blew that off.
Wait, it was terrible. She was my girlfriend at the moment, and I remember the next morning when I was like,
moment, we're like 5 seconds later.
She was like, wait, are you my boyfriend? That's how it happened. She was so dizzy and phased from getting shot in the head. I just laid the question out there, and she just said yes. No, she was in the girls' bathroom, and she just felt something hit.
Dump.
No, at the mirror, taking a dump, and she felt something hit her head, and she just walked outside, and she was like, "I think I got shot in the head." And everybody was like, "You don't get shot in the head and come out and say you got shot in the head." And the
I think I did. I feel like I got shot.
And then there was like a broken piece of glass like in the window, and they took her to the hospital, and she kept saying, "I got shot in the head." They're like, "You didn't get shot in the head." Then they opened, they like literally cut open her scalp, and there's the hunting BB, like the point of the pellet. Yeah.
Jesus, embedded in her scalp. and then some like JFK mofo in the dorms, like was sitting there,
trajectory.
Did a line, like the floss of the line from the hole in the window to where she was standing, and like looked through it, and they like straight up deduced where this bullet came from.
It was the storm.
Are you serious?
They sniper on the hill. Story.
Traced it back to Matt's bunk.
That was me. No, it was the dorm.
You're
across.
My girlfriend now. Your name is Ashley, and you love me.
You have been selected.
There's a dorm across, like not across campus, but like a good 200 yards away.
Wait, so it was a heck of a shot.
It was a heck of a shot. I mean, they hit her.
Wait.
Well, no, because they said they were just trying to scare her, which is I'm going to shoot into the girl's bathroom. Well,
that'll do the trick.
And scare a girl. But yeah, they had one of those hunting pellet guns. And
they actually found the dude?
Yeah, he was, unfortunately for him, he was also an exchange student, so he was deported a week later.
That's like the hardest justice.
Can you imagine being that kid's parents who like sacrificed in some country, like got their kid to USC, and then like a week, because this was like only like a couple weeks after school started.
Way.
Being like, so you guys, what happened? It's like, I shot a girl in the head.
I really like the justice of the story, by the way.
I also like that guy, like he came to this country and wasted no time in acquiring a BB gun. Just straight to Big Five. I need the one that can hit a girl
just
in the dorm.
Right,
what's this guy doing just sitting out there like, hey.
It was a big deal too, because like luckily for the school, Ashley's parents are pretty chill, and they're not like hurting for money or anything, so they didn't sue the shit out of them. But it was like had to be quiet. They had all these meetings. There was like, because USC doesn't want to be known
as the place where students come to get shot in the head by other students.
And then even if they considered suing them, then when the kid got deported, it was like too late. But that's why they were saying that USC was pushing for the kid to get deported.
That's
so that they
so
wouldn't
intense.
Sue them and then make it like a big case and like all this other stuff. Like,
so yeah. I was curious.
It was
like,
crazy.
Where did this kid come from? What was the country of origin?
I honestly don't
remember. Somewhere
know.
Without guns, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I never met the kid.
So excited. I'm in America now. They have guns.
Was there a case there, Jay?
Yeah, definitely.
Are you so Jake? You're is it official?
2 weeks from Friday.
2 weeks from Friday.
So you still don't know.
You will know if
I
you are
know.
Officially a lawyer.
But yeah, I mean, you know.
For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, Jake is the producer for all of the Corridor Digital stuff.
Hello.
He's been with us for like 2 years now. You'll
but
see
on
him
top
in various
of that.
Videos.
But on
also,
top of that.
On top of that.
Also, his dog is sweet.
His dog is sweet. You see him in many videos. And Jake just finished law school this summer.
Yes. I got my JD. And I'm waiting.
You have a motorcycle. You're like the raddest.
The coolest dude ever.
And beard.
Like, tats. Sick tats.
Thanks, guys.
Huge dog.
Huge dot, man. How come we can't open
it? Guns, probably.
You guys need to make a video.
I have one.
You guys need to make a video where it's just like, Jake. It's called Jake, coolest dude in the room. And you guys are sitting there like tapping away at your computer. It's like, oh, it's my video effect. And Jake like kicks the door down. Dawg's like, hey,
what's up?
Sit, dog. What's up, guys? And he just like starts bench pressing. He's like, how's it going, guys?
Didn't get my pumps in this morning. I had to do it at work.
I like the first thing that the coolest guy in the room does is tell his dog to sit. Coolest dude in the room comes in, sit, dog. So cool. Brandon's dog.
Well, Jake said he taught Bandit's dog like three new tricks.
Oh, really?
Brandon's dog.
Brandon's dog.
Oh, yeah. Are you like a dog whisperer?
Yeah, I've been called that before. Yeah.
By who?
Jake taught Rocky to attack in like 1 hour.
Yeah.
Because really? we should make a video where Rocky can like attack somebody. And Jake's like, all right, let's figure it out.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. You know how to get him to bite.
And then an hour from then, like, we had Rocky like dragging me in a circle on the floor by my arm. Like, but not by my skin.
In an hour?
By my sleeve. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just worked
I feel
with
like
him.
You had already done that before. You just didn't want to
tell
anyone.
No, I hadn't actually encouraged
you. You have a killer attack dog
attack
in the office. You're like, it's going to take me at least like 40 minutes to teach this dog how to do
like,
all these amazing tricks.
It took me like 8 times to get Bandit to heal, but now she does it every time. And she comes around the back, and I just go, Bandit, heal. She gets up and heals. And then also she's better than Rocky, actually, because she can also speak.
Yeah.
And she can play dead.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Bandit, by the way, is Brandon's dog, who's featured in all the LAN party episodes at this point.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a mini schnauzer.
Mini schnauzer.
Mini schnauzer. Yeah.
And what kind of dog is yours?
German Shepherd.
I love the fact that, like, because like you use German commands.
Apparently Germans make the best dogs.
Yeah, well, I use those so that he only hears them from me.
In German.
Yeah, because he hears English and he listens to it and he knows all the English. He knows all the same commands in English.
Wait, your dog knows English?
Yeah.
He's a bilingual.
You have a bilingual dog, bro?
He also knows a little Spanish.
He's like, asada. And it's like,
yeah. 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 So I taught him in German, so that way, when I need him to actually pay attention and work, I'd use German commands. So that way, he knows like that's the language of me not kidding around. Yeah.
And to be fair, it is the language of people not kidding around. Like that's generally
the
language.
Trying to
change
over the world twice.
Yeah. Right. Well, now, hold on. We actually have a hilarious history with the Germans on this podcast because Logan once, like, I think it was like the third podcast. Logan was just like, I just think when someone's speaking German, they're a Nazi. And we're like, Logan, come on. And then like we got like
the most comments we ever got.
Most comments like, I'm from Germany, and it's just like nonstop. I'm like, Logan, you gotta be careful.
I'm from Germany, and it's illegal to talk about that here.
Yeah.
You gotta
really
be careful
is.
About like just calling an entire like language speaking population Nazis. He's like,
Leather, I can't help it, man.
It's a movie thing. How often do us Americans hear German and not in the context of some history of World War II or a World War II movie?
Speaking of German
pretty
movies,
rarely.
Actually, have you guys seen The Wave?
No, what's The
2008?
Wave?
2008. It's the what?
Yeah, sorry, nothing.
apparently, there's
yes, I have this amazing movie.
There's a social experiment that was done like in a high school.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the '70s or the '60s in California,
Where this teacher wanted to like show kids how fascism could take over, and so he like as a class project, he's like, "What if we like all banded together, and like we'll establish uniforms so that like nobody has to worry about which clothes they wear. We can all just no effort show up in the morning. We'll work together. You guys can help each other on assignments, etc." And the kids kind of took it and ran with it, and it basically became like a gang for like a week. Mm. And by the end of the week, like they had a hand signal, and like
they saluted. People were like quote unquote punished for not being part of the group and they got like
harassing people. And the teacher's like, "Oh crap, this went way out of control real fast. I gotta call this off."
Also ended in a negligent suit.
Did it really?
Yep, a couple of them.
Wow, so, interesting. Yeah. So this is so great to have like the legal like little commentary here.
So there was a somewhat mediocre movie made in the U.S. and then in Germany they made a really good film actually that came out in 2008. It's on Netflix if people want to check it out. And it's really solid. Like it all comes together really well. Has some decent character portrayal. Also the actual teacher who did it wrote a musical.
What? That's
and
amazing.
There's actually clips of it on YouTube, so you can see The Wave, the musical, directed and written by the teacher who made The Wave a thing.
That's bizarre.
That
is really bizarre.
The musical's really strange.
I need to channel my story. Musical theater is the way I'm going to do it. And it was a crazy like little thought experiment. And the way they ended it, was really cool in real life, where it was just like, all right, we're having an assembly. And then he just did his assembly. He just like, I think it was like, he like quoted a Hitler speech just straight up and be like, guys, this is what I meant.
This is how fascism becomes a thing. And everybody's like, oh my God, you're the best teacher I ever had.
How old were
they? Sign my yearbook. I don't know.
High school age.
Okay.
Yeah, high school,
Yeah. That's awesome.
Matt, did you ever have any run-ins with fascism?
No, I did not.
Strange.
Unless you got Catholic school, but I don't think so.
No. Oh, man. Okay, I have a question for... this is, by the way, this is like the most like laid back podcast I think we've done in a while.
Yeah, we just know you guys.
I know you guys. It's just a bunch of bros hanging out.
Bro time.
Yeah. So real quick, did you guys acquire the additional space expansion?
Yes.
We got the expansion pack for our studio. It's freaking sick.
Dude,
where did you expand?
Expansion
unit four.
Level up.
Oh, fantastic. Man. Congratulations.
Yes, the unit four expansion pack for Corridor Digital.
So the very first thing that we did upon getting the space was go next door and buy Crisis Zone, the arcade machine.
God. What?
Are you
serious?
Yeah. We are going over there.
Wait, real quick though, so the guys next door, do they have any extra ones? Because I've been looking for some arcade machines.
They have pinball machines.
Mostly pinball.
Yeah, they fix them and sell them over there.
Is that the only thing?
They have some great pinball machines, by the way.
It's
like really just an arcade.
A bunch of tools. You have to send us a picture of this.
It's just sitting in the middle of the room.
That's amazing.
They're just super chill.
You're like, this is our crisis zone.
That's amazing.
Sweet.
Which space was space four?
Ben.
The one that Ben left.
Oh, he left.
Yeah. But it's
so many words.
It's super tall and super wide and...
It's huge. Yeah. It's like you've looked into it, I'm sure, walking by.
Mm-hmm.
But then like Steve, our landlord, gave me a tour because they're demoing it. And I was like... There is so much more. There's like whole back areas that you had
hidden
realized. Yeah.
There's like laundry rooms and other bedrooms. And you're just like, what?
There's a lot of like huge art pieces in there. And once you take that out, it's enormous. It's huge.
Are you guys going to knock down the wall?
We've already knocked down a couple.
Maybe.
We're going to put up.
I want to make like a little trap door. You know, like one of those ones you have to kind of like shimmy through.
Oh, you know, you should do
that. That would be way cool.
Have you ever wanted to do like a
fire door?
So. Yes.
Yes.
Well, all the time.
Like, always. But like hidden doors, like you guys should do a
legit
bookcase
hidden doors.
Door. Like
I think we might do a hidden door for like a closet or something.
Well,
a hidden door for a closet. So it's just like,
wait, take
this.
What's
behind
this hidden door?
Oh my God! Wait. I have the best story from Comic Con.
Okay, let's hear it.
Oh man, it's a hidden door story.
Oh yeah. This is a good story.
This is a really good story, and I'm telling it actually through someone else's perspective. But you know, I'm just gonna run with it.
Go for it.
So it's Comic Con, and
that time of year.
It's great. We're having a great time on, you know, we're on the town, just
by
a couple boys on the
pretty
town.
Drunk.
So yeah, we've got a few drinks, a few, yeah. So and basically,
had some libations.
It's like Nico, sodas. Jimmy, you know, I think Jan and Mike Diva is there with us, and basically wasn't
Clint there with us too?
Yeah, Clint was there too, and so we walk into this little bar. They serve us a couple beers. You know, it's all right. It's cool, and we're sitting down and. Then like Jimmy pipes up and he was like, "Hey, you know, I just realized this place was called the Noble Experiment. I'm looking at the sign and it's called like the Neighborhood Bar. It's like, but they're at the same address. I don't get it. Like, the Noble Experiment has really good reviews, but we're at some other place and I don't know why they're at the same location. So like, that's weird. Yeah, I thought we were going to this Noble Experiment place too. The place on Yelp. It's like, yeah. It's like, man, where the hell are we?" And so we're sitting there in the bar drinking these beers, confused, because we thought we were going to one place when we were actually at another. And so we're sitting there for a while, and, you know, we're having a few beers, and then it's like an hour passes, and I think, like, Nico and Mike, like, you guys go to, like, the bathroom,
yeah,
just
the bathroom.
Checking out the bathroom,
together.
And go, like, there's, like,
checking out
but there's, like, a line or something, or, like, there's not enough space, so, like,
Mike, it's a one-person bathroom.
Yeah, so Mike's waiting outside the bathroom, and he's sitting there, and he turns around, and there's like this big like wall of like oak barrels, because you know they're metal kegs, it's like a beer place, and there's just a wall of kegs there.
It's like,
so he stacks
around it too. So
So he takes a step back and leans on this huge wall of kegs, and suddenly it starts sliding behind him, and like there's this perfectly thin slice, and all these kegs are actually attached together, and they just push back in this giant rectangle into this small room, and behind the door is just a receptionist sitting there alone.
At a desk.
She looks up, and there's like light shining up onto her face from this giant computer monitor beneath her face, and she's like, "Hello." and Mike like starts creeping around. There's, by the way, all the walls inside of there, two like they're about like 15-foot ceilings lined with skulls, human skulls. There's literally hundreds of skulls lining the walls, and he walks up and like, "What is this place?" And like, "This is the Noble Experiment." And then he runs out. He's like, guys, I found the noble experiment place. And we're like, what? And we all like are wasted. And we run in there like, oh, wait, can we sit down? He's like, no, it's reservation only. Like, oh, come on. No, we're closing. And we're like, oh, and then we got belligerent and we left.
So it's like an actual restaurant or something? Or?
It's mm-hmm. just a secret bar.
Secret bar.
There's a couple of secret bars around LA, and I always wondered, like, what is like, has anyone done like the 2-level secret bar where it's like, because there's one in Culver City that like, looks like a barber shop, and this looks like a barber shop. It's just like, it just wouldn't be open at this time, but it's like barber chairs and stuff, and you go through the back, and there's a bar in the back.
That's cool.
But has anyone done like level 2, or it's just like, oh, do you think that's the secret bar?
Yeah.
Wrong, bro.
Well, you know, here's the thing.
Like cocaine parties.
A true secret bar remains a secret. You know, it's like.
That's true. You got no Yelp reviews.
It's like,
you can't check into that on Foursquare.
A secret bar is so good that you actually don't tell everyone about it. Like, the bar I went to, it's so good I didn't know. but basically, you know what I mean, like it's got the quality of service and like something unique about it where you're just like, I can bring people here, but I'm not going to discuss it outside of it, you know?
Like first like, rule of secret bars.
Yeah,
you don't talk. If Corridor were to build their own secret bar, what would it be like?
Oh man,
it'd be like kind of like the bar in Star Wars, but like way different.
But that's the one.
Way different.
It would probably end up being like the Magic Castle, honestly.
Just magicians.
Just lots of magic.
I'll just go there instead. It's pretty great.
I've never been to the Magic Castle. I'd really like to go sometime.
It's great.
Hint.
Yeah, I was like, just putting that out there. Just the internet.
Yeah, friends. So-called friends. But, you guys want to take me to the Magic Castle? it's pretty interesting.
You've been there?
I have, yeah. Oh. when I went, it was a friend of a friend was one of the magicians performing. And so he was able to, he knew like all the little cool secret side spots and everything. But it's an interesting place. It's kind of like just a maze of a place. And you're just like, oh, and here's a bar. You know, it's just like, where am I? Oh, there's the bar. And another bar. You know, it's like, it's just kind of that. But it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. If you like sleight of hand.
I like sleight of hand.
Well, it's great. Oh, it's like, it's a maze of a building with bars everywhere. However, they have like theaters and there's people at tables doing sleight of hand tricks. They're like up close table magic, and it's like they have the literal full variety of
types,
magic tricks.
Yeah.
It's great.
And I remember when someone went, like, so I'm standing outside. You have to wear a suit. You have to wear,
you can't formal.
To get inside.
Huh?
To get inside, you have to wear a suit.
Yeah, you need a tie or a
and also
tie.
You have, you're required to buy a dinner there.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're standing outside, it's like this, like
most restaurants. Like most restaurants.
It's a magic parlor. It's parlor magic. I've always been too afraid to go inside.
You need a suit. That's the thing. You need a dapper suit and a tie or bow tie. So,
and the password for the secret door.
That's right. And we're standing around outside, and this guy rolls up in like an old school like Bentley, like old, like, you know, like the hard square edges. And he comes out, and he's just wearing like. Just the raddest looking 20s suit bow tie combo. Like, he's just a cool looking dude. And it kind of got a little jaunt to his step. He tosses the keys over to the valet. He's like, hey, snaps his fingers. Like, hey there, Mr. P. He's like, hey, how's it going? And Saunders and like, who is this like rad dude who just like rolled in here with this ridiculous car? On the way out, we're standing there waiting for our car to get pulled up. And here comes the rad dude again. And he's now he has 2 incredibly attractive females on both of his arms, and this Bentley pulls up, and then like one of the girls goes, oh my gosh, that's your car? Oh, he goes like, yeah, get on, come on in. And then and he just like sped off into the Los Angeles night, and we're like, who is this guy? And this, like,
he's out there somewhere.
P. Like, who is this like
Mr.
dapper
P.
gentleman who just like went in, came out, and just like, what does this guy do for a living? Like, is this must be
it. Money.
Magic.
That's his job.
Well, he goes to the Magic Castle, that's for one.
And just like picks up models and drives them home in his Bentley.
Non-modern dapper suits.
Yeah. Does the internet know you're actually really good at sleight of hand?
I'm actually okay at sleight of hand. I'm not that good.
And that's why the internet will never know how good he is.
Occasionally you see it. Actually, there's one really good one in the VGHS behind the scenes. There's one where I do like a card trick, and I was like looking at it, I was like, that's nailed it.
You can do that, like the ace that you spin in your fingers and
the ace
changes.
Spin. Yeah, yeah. That was a pretty good one. No, I used to do magic tricks for like fun. Halloween parties and stuff. When I was in high school, every year we would.
You were so cool, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, are there any Halloween parties I can come by?
Freddie is not Master or Mr. P. No, no. That is not his secret identity.
That's not me. No.
Mr. F.
So in high school, every year we would. My high school would go to a sort of underprivileged, sort of lower income high school or school, and we would run a Halloween event. You know, this would be like a haunted house. There'd be like, you know, like bobbing for apples and stuff. And the idea is that, you know, you can't trick or treat in some of these neighborhoods that we were going into because they're really dangerous. Right. So they would have a good, safe, you know, place with community to do it. And I would do little magic trick stuff here and there. And that was like my thing. It was fun. My friend did a haunted house. And it's like, it was so great because it was just like the most basic stuff where he's like, I'm just going to lie here and pretend I'm dead. And then when the kid comes around the corner, I'm just going to like scream at him.
Did you guys talk about Halloween yet? Why were you guys for Halloween?
I was out of town on business.
Oh.
How did you guys establish these roles?
I didn't either.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hate Halloween.
Oh, that's...
What?
Yeah, take that back.
No, we've talked about it.
Take that back.
It's Ashley's favorite holiday. I can't stand it.
Oh, my God. It's the only holiday devoted to partying.
New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's my least favorite holiday.
Oh, yeah, I guess I forget about New Year's Eve, but it's not as fun.
St. Patty's Day. Yeah.
Most holidays are, in fact, actually dedicated to parties. What do you look at them?
National Party Day. It's
what
a Canadian.
What did you guys go as?
Yeah, what did you go as?
I was a wizard, and I had these big...
just a generic wizard.
No, but that's the thing. Everyone's like, it's like, are you from, like, League of Legends? I'm like, no, just
no,
like OG
I'm not,
wizard.
I'm not
like,
from anything. I am like, a fucking
straight
wizard.
Up like, first edition D&D.
It's like, this is Sam... And as a wizard, like I am a wizard.
What was your garb? What attire?
It was like a bald cap with like the monk hair, you know, the circular line around it. But it matched my hair perfectly, so it was kind of weird for people apparently. And then I had like a big robe and like a staff and stuff, and like a little magic bag
and a beard.
Unfortunately, near the end of the night, the beard ended up getting ripped off. And so I just had this bald cap, and everyone's like, so what are you? And it's like, are you like Moses? And like, I'm like,
Moses.
Oh, I'm now like a Jewish wizard or something. I don't know. I don't, whatever. But yeah, Moses it is. So
he was a Jewish wizard.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. So,
Nico?
I was like just an 80s action dude.
80s action. Good, I love how generic their costumes are. I'm magic guy dude.
It was 80s. It was leather jacket, katana, eye patch.
Yeah. Headband. Though there is one thing that I did that I'm kind of proud of, and that is I used one of the swords from when we filmed Blood Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
So that had the reflective tape on it. And so if anybody took a picture with their iPhone and the flash turned on, I had the sweetest glowing katana ever.
What?
Look at
that. That's
pretty cool.
We're going to... You got a close-up.
Look at that close-up.
Wait, put the phone the other way.
Give it to Des. And put it to that camera.
Turn the phone the other way.
Oh, my gosh.
Turns out there's no one operating the camera.
Wait, is my phone just locked?
Yeah, your phone's locked. Anyway, so yeah, look at that. You have a laser sword. That's really cool. Is that Sam as a wizard in there?
That's Clint. Sam is a wizard? No,
I may have been taking that picture, actually.
Dean in the background is Levi, and then Clint there is a Typing in the Dead
character. My God, that was my favorite. He had like the perfect round circular glasses. He had like a Dreamcast and
with
that keyboard
on top.
It's just like a giant battery.
Typing
like, and then, and it was great. And also, since he was typing the dead like randomly throughout the night, I'd like translate some words to Japanese to him, and I'd like shove it in his face, and he's like, and he's like, type the words as fast as he can as they're coming closer, so like they hit his face.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
I remember this is a funny story. So I remember when we were probably the first Halloween after we met, mm-hmm. 2009, I think. Yeah, 2009, the first Halloween that I met you guys.
Right.
Sam's got a pocket full of candies over there.
2009.
Where'd you get all these candies?
Yeah, 2009. So I remember I remember we had just gone to the alpha of Minecraft, and we were all super into Minecraft. So you guys went as straight up. This is like 3 years ahead of the curve as Minecraft Steve, and you know, and you went
to the nerd poker party.
Yeah, you went to a nerd party. Nobody recognized you. And
you guys, Legos?
Are you robots?
That's how the Minecraft video was born, wasn't it? The first
one? Those are the costumes we used in our Minecraft video, which then went on to get the most views that we've ever had.
Yeah.
That's the funniest thing. But all within the span of 4 months.
I always thought that was just hilarious that it was like, you guys, like, you were doing the Minecraft costume thing like years before anybody was, and it was just like, no, now every kid is a creeper.
Hey guys, how's it going? Jimmy Wong, aka Ted from VGHS here, telling you to check out shop.rocketjump.com. We've got brand new merchandise like iPhone cases and iPad decals to shirts, Blu-rays, and posters, including brand new Season 2 designs from our friends at Danger Brain. There's also the incredibly popular VGHS hoodie, and some of our older shirts are on sale for a great price. So make sure you check it out right after this podcast at shop.rocketjump.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Are you guys back on Minecraft?
No.
You guys in the in-between, the refactory period, as I like to call it?
Honestly, we've been playing a ton of other video games this fall.
What's your top games?
Top games.
Top games.
Quarter Digital. Top games of
2012.
Arma 3. Next top game, Chivalry. Came out a year ago or whatever, but it's not my top game still.
Wow. Arma 3 is hilarious, by the way.
Next top game, Rocksmith 2014.
Oh. Mm. And by the way, Nico, you're the only person I know who's like actually gone from zero to hero Clint too?
Yep.
Yeah, these are like, I've seen it. It actually works. These video game guitar playing games actually work. Nico didn't know a lick of guitar.
Dude, you could pass me that $75 monoprice guitar, and I could just bust out Breakfast at Tiffany's right now.
Oh, we're challenge. So
all right,
challenge.
Wait, Sam, tell me your games. I'm going to set Nico up for that.
Snap. Splinter Cell Blacklist is one of the few games I've ever become world class at.
Yeah?
And
world class.
By the way, we've ruined that game for countless people.
World class. I'm talking world class. Put me in a server, everyone's dead.
I should point out that like, Sam's lifetime KD rage, like, or sorry, lifetime win-loss is like 5-1.
My KD is like 2.5, I guess.
That's impressive.
That's all right. But for lifetime, it's pretty solid, like average.
I'll say there's Sam, of the two things that you've always that I've seen you do, one is you're a world class pilot on Battlefield.
Oh yeah.
And you're also a world class Splinter Cell Blacklist spy. Like both times I've just sat there and like playing with you guys, and, like I'll look over Sam's thing, like every single time. I remember the first, like last time we did this, just like Sam was like, I'm gonna play spy. I look over, and as I'm watching you get like 4 kills in a row. Just like knife, knife, gun, knife. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah,
it's cool.
That's awesome. So Nico, I would say like as a musician, my favorite moment jamming with you of all time.
Yeah, I know what this moment is.
Wait.
We were all there.
This wasn't a jamming moment. This was an on stage moment.
I wasn't there, but I've heard the story.
I saw the video.
Do you feel like this one, Jake?
No.
Okay, so Haldine, Brandon's girlfriend, we were had a performance. She was gonna sing a Filipino like rock song, and we were gonna be her backup band. And I took guitar. Oh no, I'm sorry. I was on bass. Yeah.
No, I was on bass.
Right. Okay. Hold on. So Sam was on bass, spilling
beer all over his crotch.
Sam's wetting himself on bass. I was playing guitar. Nico was playing drums. Haldine on vocals. And we were practicing in our place, and we got this song down.
Yeah.
And so we're at this like community thing. It was like, how many people were there? Like 500 people.
Dude,
were there.
Hold on. Yeah. I mean, there were so many unfortunate events there. Like, like I was playing and like.
Don't get it. We gotta go in. Let's tell the story.
Yeah. I'll tell my part. It's whatever.
So this is like a nerve-wracking experience because we're here. Myself, Nico and Sam, by the way, the two whitest guys in the room.
We just moved to L.A. We're from Minnesota. This is also 2009, by the way.
We're at a... I didn't even know there was a Filipino music festival even existed.
YouTube was just a twinkle in Freddie's eye at the time.
And we were in Torrance, California, not where all the illegal stuff comes from, spelled differently. But we're sitting in like they're like community like performance hall center. It's like 500, 600 people are in there. And it's this whole evening of music and entertainment, and we are out there, and like we're standing behind the curtains, and I'll start with my experience, and then we'll go into Sam. And just to give an idea, just like somehow this wasn't a train wreck, but it was a train wreck. So we're sitting there, and I'm plugged into an amp I've never used before, and it's like, all right, here we go. And the first song we're doing is we're doing a Taylor, what's her face?
Taylor Swift.
So the song starts off with solo guitar leading into it. So I'm the one. So I hear the guy, the announcer, he's like, hey, welcome.
Haldine, I can do it.
Freddie Wong.
Yeah.
Just claps, applause. The curtain comes up, and I'm sitting here, and I turn my guitar up to 10, as is the requisite volume,
yeah,
and strum. Nothing. Quiet. And, like, and the curtain, like, I can see the curtain, like, slowly. I'm like, what's going on? Nothing's going on. No sound. Check cable. Cable. No. Cable's in. Is cable wrong? No. Amp's on. All the volume's up. What? Where is it? Oh gosh. Okay. And I was like, what? And now the curtain is up. And now, of course, this probably didn't take off, but the curtain is up, and the entire crowd just stay there. And I'll just look at me, and I'm sitting there being like, it's not, nothing's working. Nothing's working. I'm back on amp. And like, and
Sam's having the exact
no,
same
no, 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 no.
And then somewhere in the back of my head, I think standby switch. Of course, standby switch is a Fender amp. Standby switch. Where's the standby switch? My standby switch is not on the front. There's no switch in the front. And I start going to the back and I flip the standby switch. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Dude, and I just get right there. And this is like, I'm so like, okay. And this is like a slow Taylor Swift. And I was like, so nervous. Like, I thought, like, I was so nervous,
dude,
at that moment.
Okay, so now
meanwhile,
the song has officially started.
20 Freddy's, feet away.
Finally, Freddie's gotten the amp working and sounds coming out of it. And the song is now begun. So now the thing is that it's a guitar intro, but right after that little first intro, the whole band comes in. And so I'm sitting there with my bass. I'm sitting there, all right, I'm ready. So I'm just like,
which is my bass, by the way.
I'm just sliding my fingers on the strings, just getting my fingers ready. And like the beat comes, 2, 3, 4. And I hit it, and like,
nothing.
I'm like, God damn it. I'm sitting there, and like, nothing, no. And like, it's just like Freddie's guitar, like, just twanging, and like, Nico on the drums. It's like the most empty, flat sound. I'm sitting there, like, oh God. So I keep playing, and like, I turn the knob, and I start like,
and to be fair, you can hear the bass, but
it's just like really kind of in and out, and
it's just
like
barely there. So it's not like it's not getting any signal.
And so I'm like turning everything, I'm wiggling the cord, and I turn down to the thing, and I'm like sitting there wiggling all the cords. I literally ended up, what I did is I was just freaking out, and I started turning up all the volumes. I started maxing them all out. And I'm just like trying to get some sort of sound out of it. Literally everything's on 10 now.
And now it's the reverb.
Yeah.
Every knob on the front of the bass.
Just so it goes from to come more like a.
So it's a little soft, but it works.
And so now I'm starting to hear it, and we're like, I'm like, guys, all right. That was close. But I lost like 2 bars on that.
And by the way, in the back of your head, you're thinking.
I'm like, God,
okay,
what happened, man?
The amp should not be that
like,
loud.
Man, something's
this amp
wrong.
Is drawing like, so much electricity.
Like, I know. We were just there. We were testing everything too and making sure it all worked.
And soundtrack, everything worked fine.
Yeah,
by
it was
way.
Great. And so
flawless.
But now we're like at the last 2 bars of the song. We're about to wrap it up. I'm like, man, I'm so embarrassed that happened in the beginning there. And so like, I was just like, you know, maybe I'll just bump the chord again. So it's like, bump. It started like overpowering everyone,
and now it's like the loudest bass you've ever heard.
But it's like half super loud bass, but you hear that little crackle of the of the line shifting and stuff, and like in the middle of the song, and then
the song ends. So it pretty much without a hitch.
Wait. There was a drum incident.
Yeah,
hold on. The next song starts.
Okay.
The next song is
there
like
go.
High
yeah,
tempo.
I was keeping mine ready for the next song.
All right, so Nico's looking around, probably being like, look
yeah,
at these
so,
amateurs.
So we finished the Taylor Swift, and we're on this like high-paced like Filipino rock band.
And I got my distortion running through my rat distortion pedal, sounding good, getting going. Sam's bass is alternating between the loudest thing you've ever heard to the quietest thing and not being there. And Sam's sitting there jiggling his cord as much as he can. And we didn't notice this. Sam didn't notice this. I didn't notice this. Heldine didn't notice this. But Nico knew. And the guy operating the camera for the event totally knew. So we're sitting there. And what was it? We're about 2 verses in. And you're jamming. You're feeling it. Nico, why don't you tell us from your perspective? Meanwhile,
so,
20 feet away.
I got my big roll where I go down the drums. I'm doing it. And it's a drum set that's not mine. I'm not used to it. And my stick catches on the underside of a cymbal while I'm lifting it up. And it flips up into the air. And I reach out for it, and I touch it, and then it falls in front of me out to the stage. And so I have one more step. I managed to keep it on the snare drum, but I start laughing.
He starts cracking up.
Of course, you didn't have any backups.
I didn't bring a second pair of sticks. I'm like, oh crap.
And I'm still giggling. I'm looking around, and I see the other guy. The other drummer luckily had a pile of sticks just on the ground. And so I grab the stick, and I continue playing, and nobody notices. But Haldane gets a DVD.
of the event.
And so we all, like, it's like a month and a half later. And so, like, and so we all sit down to watch our performance.
And, all the moments, by the way, in our head on stage is, like, the most disastrous thing. Turns out when I was delayed before starting, maybe 3 seconds. Yeah. Yeah, it's like when
exactly.
You're watching,
it just felt like an eternity.
And, yeah. And for my end too, it's like they like mixed the bass solo on the PA. It's like I didn't hear myself even when I was playing.
Yeah, but I do remember one moment of we were hitting like the big part, and for you just go down for like a big headbang to hit it with the band, and none of us have any energy. And it's like, yeah! Nope. And they just turn around, like, kind of play quietly. But it cuts to a camera angle of me and the drums right before this roll.
Zoomed in,
and
by the way.
And it's zooming in, like, before this roll even happens, and it stops zooming.
Pay close attention.
I do the roll, lose my stick, and it goes flying up. The camera gets just a perfect shot of it. And it's in the final video.
Yeah, they edited like, that, and it was like, that's the shot that's going in. And when he looks up to laugh after dropping the stick, it almost appears like he's spiking the camera, looking directly at it. Yeah. Kind of like doing like almost whoops. Like he does like a little shrug like oh well.
It's amazing.
By the way,
is that clip online anywhere?
No, God.
You should upload it to the Rocket Jump channel.
Yeah, it should go up.
Needs to go up. We'll put it up as part of this podcast.
You can put it at the end
sure.
of this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh. I'll get that clip from you guys. It's amazing.
I don't know.
Dude, that's way before anything. Like
yeah.
No yep. YouTube, none of that stuff. It's
yeah,
like,
that's us being complete.
I remember seeing that clip when we were shooting like BB guns because we literally shoot BB guns from the second story window to cans that you guys put on the rooftop.
Across
that,
the
by
street,
the way,
yeah.
is like literally pointing just BB guns at the freeway.
There's no way they're traveling 200 yards.
I know, but that is what we're doing. We're literally
the freeway's at least 200 yards. There's no way our BBs are going that far.
But we're still pointing like sniper rifles at like the freeway. But I remember that clip coming in, and we played it like 20 times in a row. Like it was amazing.
Oh my gosh! Yes. So, I know that you guys, didn't you guys have like a metal band back in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and college.
Riot Gear.
No, that's a different one.
That was in college.
They had two metal bands.
The one in high school was really hard, too.
What was that called?
Oh, man.
That was Sam had long hair.
We didn't have a
name. No, Sam had long hair in college.
No name. That's how hard you guys were.
No, what was your name?
Yeah.
You were just like the metal band.
If you guys haven't had a chance to see it,
it's just known for music, jeez.
Of Sam with long hair.
I should upload our band documentary I made as a project in college.
Whoa.
Did you?
That'd be great.
For Riot Gear?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You can see Sam with like long blonde Viking hair.
Yeah.
And a lip piercing.
It was great.
What?
I was
piercing?
Dude, I was a metal guitarist.
Like, Sam, Sam, go like this. Go like this.
See it?
Oh, dang.
Oh, see? I've never noticed.
You didn't realize it was that hardcore.
I did not know you were that hardcore.
We don't know.
That's awesome.
We
do.
That's
so. Gave up that life a long time ago.
No, the metal band it's a secret. Life. It's within. It's on the inside.
The metal band life.
Yeah,
metal band
you life. Level up and you realize it's a spiritual thing.
Just kind of playing it all the time now.
Yeah.
Did you guys did a talent show? If I remember correctly,
we did
right?
a talent show. We were the opening act.
Oh my God. This is high school though, not. College.
Yeah, high school.
We had no singer. We only played instrumental songs.
It was just instrumental, like, metal songs. Just so, all just cool riffs.
So we covered, like, In Flames and Dark Tranquility and a bunch of metal bands that no one had ever heard of. But ours.
Including, till today, no one still heard
of it. To this day, nobody. Completely unknown. Lost.
What was the act that had to follow that? Do you remember?
Some, like, pop punk stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, high school. Some high just school. Dumb bullshit.
Nirvana covers.
Yeah.
All I gotta say, it was just, like, I'd only been playing the drums for about, like, 3 months, by the way. But it was really cool hearing double bass pedals blast through those PAs. It's like. There's one thing I practiced for those 3 months, and that was just a double pedal metal beat. Just it sounded sweet.
That's awesome.
I still have some of your. I think I have your pedals still.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, they're at Jimmy's.
Returned them to you.
And Freddie's place.
I remember.
Lousy
I used to
scoundrel.
I used to sleep beneath you guys. Well, not like literally beneath you, but I was in the apartment below
me
you.
Me and Des.
And Matt and I, and you had the drum set with the double pedals, double bass
hated
pedals in the corner, and you would practice.
Not at late at night.
Yes,
though.
You did.
Yes,
what?
Originally. Yeah, all the time. Originally, we had. Yeah, I remember. I remember. I felt terrible. Like, hey, I gotta be the neighbor who complains because you're just stomping on the floor every night for an hour and a half straight.
No, you guys.
I do remember.
Yeah.
And I was right. I was in. I didn't have a room. I lived just in the corner
and for
of a warehouse.
Your bed was also 8 feet high.
It was also 8 feet high.
Matt's nose. this far. It's like 4 inches from the ceiling where you're pounding on these double bass pedals.
The drum is just straight up. And you guys are like, hey, don't worry. We like rose it up like 3 inches and put some carpet.
Yeah, you're like, we put some carpet down, so don't worry about it.
Oh my god. And like our entire place is also just concrete. So it's just also we're like in a speaker. Like any wherever you are, it doesn't matter. It's gonna blast through our entire apartment.
Every night, 7 o'clock.
And that's what I'd just be like, whatever, I'm just gonna go upstairs and just play Battlefield or something. Yeah, I'm not gonna sleep.
You can't beat him, join him. Yeah, yeah. Just go upstairs, yeah.
And that's how he formed a lifelong bond of friendship.
That was a crazy 2 years.
Speaking of bands and stuff like that, I remember one of the early ideas that that you guys had, which I haven't seen hide nor hair of at this point, but I don't know why and why you're not doing this right now. But Speed Metal Western, what happened to that?
Speed Metal Western.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I think
it's a damn good question.
The
Freddy.
Lack of viability for that piece.
Yeah. What?
The concept for Speed Metal Western, for those of you who have who don't know me personally, the concept of Speed Metal Western is a Western that's set to, it's not quite a musical Western, like people aren't singing, but there are numerous extended set pieces set to music. Kind of imagine Knights of Cydonia, the music video, but as a movie with like Knights of Cydonia, the music
and
video happening like five times.
Really,
in the
really
movie.
Intense metal bands. Like, it's a compilation of different metal bands, all like scoring different sections, and it's just like some of the hardest beats you've ever heard.
Yeah. And
not like rap hard, but like blast hard.
The opening scene was,
right,
the concept
right,
for
blast
the opening
hard.
Scene
Ration Bird.
Was we start off on the top of a cliff, like in the desert. And there's guys that are like riding their dirt bikes like down a path down this like cliff.
Yeah.
And we're actually filming it from a powered paraglider. So we fly over and we start coming down. We see there's a train track and it's kind of like in a ditch. And there's this train going along, and in the back of the train is a car with a mounted like old-fashioned like crank Gatling gun. And the guy is in there just turning the crank and the Gatling gun's firing. By the way, to the beat of the bass pedals in the song.
Yeah.
And guys show up on dirt bikes firing at this guy with their Uzis or whatever, then more guys ride up on horses because it's a Western still. And they're getting in fights, and in the distance there's like blimps, like those like World War II style era like anti-aircraft blimps. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what the heck is going on? But it's really sweet and it's set to metal music.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
And the actual bands who play the metal are in like actually included in the movie.
Yeah.
And
oh
so,
yeah.
So every once in a while, like they just it's just the band playing like really hard, and then the set explodes, and you realize they're in the desert, and then like the scene keeps happening.
They should arise up out of the sand.
You know, actually, we did do something with that. It's called Slow and Reverse, the music video that went on our channel.
I was about to ask, like, is that why
it's
you
like
guys
the tame,
did that?
The tame
it's like the tame version.
It is a tame version, but yeah. that's basically
your vision mixed with Jimmy Wong's just little kid charm.
His Jimmy's like
boyish good charm.
That, do you remember we were talking about like the world? Was the World War II metal video?
Oh, the back to back one.
Yeah, this is the.
Oh
one
yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Fighting demons on one side and
right.
Like,
so it's like, let me throw this one at you. Tell me, metal bands. Inquire within.
Those who listen.
lead singers of people with metal bands. So you take World War II stock footage. And you add in your main character. So it's like your main characters are, okay, they're playing in the metal band, but then you keep cutting to like them, D-Day, throughout World War II. But then the whole point is, as the song is going, it's like the version of them that's fighting in World War II is fighting the Nazis. But then the version of them in the metal band is like in some hellish landscape fighting demons. But it's it's like parallel battles across two different realities. And like it culminates in my head, it culminates in this one shot where it's like the two versions of the guitarist are standing melded back to back with each other. And it's a long circle dolly just all around it. And then for when you're looking into the universe of the guy, the World War II guy, he's at the Eagle's Nest spraying down Nazis and like and you know, biplanes are strafing him. But then when you spin around and you look into the other one, it's him with the guitar using his guitar skills to like blast down flying demons and shit. And it's just like, and it's like, yeah, anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Sure. Where do I sign up? That sounds great.
Do you have a metal band?
That sounds like only a couple days of worth of work in After Effects.
It's all about which universe are you looking into, and each one of them is using the tools. Yeah.
Remember we had the concept of this one character who's basically like the Grim Reaper, but in the Speed Metal Western, and whenever he rides the horse until it's basically about to die, and then dismount the horse, just takes the revolver, shoots the horse in the back of the head, and as it slumps down to the ground, he just walks off of it into the town.
That'd be rad.
Yeah.
Just constantly like on the edge of horse usage.
First thing he does in town is like, hey, do you guys, where do you guys buy horses?
Guys, horses.
Where do I get a horse? I'm going to steal your horse.
Yeah, he shoots the horse, walks in town, like, Give me your closest horse.
It's basically horse.
The same system as cars in GTA.
Just runs up and grabs somebody off it. GTA? What? I was just thinking about like.
Was it Western?
But wait, I never really played through it. Could you get off your horse and hijack another horse?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Horses were like cars.
Maybe you do that like the first thing.
Okay. All right.
You know, Speed Metal Western then evolved to be set on Mars. Because it became a Western on Mars.
And then it
evolved to be the movie version of chess.
Oh, yeah. Chess the movie is such a good idea. It's like Transformers, you know? Taking like little pieces of plastic and then turning it into a movie.
Wait, what?
I love what's chess the movie. It's like Transformers.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's it's about a freaking pawn who goes and defeats an entire kingdom and like kills a queen and stuff.
It's so you like have one guy who can only walk one step diagonally and two steps right or
like,
whatever.
He prances
like metaphorically.
Yeah, metaphorically. No.
And then we gave up on the idea because we realized how dumb it was getting.
Yeah. So. And then we started coming up with a movie. We basically call it Checkers.
No. And then just subtitled King Me, the Checkers.
And then we want to make a film based on Sorry. Actually, we have a concept for Monopoly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Aren't they doing that?
Yeah,
probably worse, though.
All right, let's hear your Monopoly concept.
It's all Ridley right. Scott's Monopoly, yeah. By the way. So, Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott, you can listen to his podcast and thank us later. But the concept for Monopoly is actually going to be about four competing railroads, basically being the equivalent of the railroads on the side of the board. If you're not aware of the game.
If you've never even eaten at McDonald's or played the game.
And just like Speed Metal Western, it too was a Western. And it's about settling the new frontier with these like different railroad barons competing and trying to set up a monopoly.
Okay.
Sounds cool. Sounds pretty cool.
Like making hotels and stuff and getting super
like the
rich.
Dog and the thimble.
Well, now here's the question, though. Like, do they build four houses and they just like tear them down for the hotel? Like,
probably.
Are they just like, get these houses out of here. We just want one hotel now.
But yeah, no, there'd be like a character with a trait that ties into each piece. Like one guy would be like, you know, really into cars and like an indie driver, you know, who
one guy's really into sewing.
One guy's a dog.
He's just straight up dog.
One guy's got
the world's most intelligent dog runs a railroad. that's such a good idea.
Sounds just like Transformers, actually.
A little heavier than Transformers, to be fair. Probably a little more high concept, but
yeah.
Definitely. I would watch that. What other board games do you have a board game movie, Matt? You have any board game movies?
No, I can't think of a board game movie.
I would.
What was like Settlers of Catan movie? Just like a pilgrim movie?
It would just be it'd be that
pilgrims. Like little dungeon. You want to settle over here? Okay.
Roll these dice.
Okay. It's like you got a lot of farmland. Dead. Here's some points.
No, the D&D movie. That's not really a. I guess that's kind of a board game. It's
a little pen and paper game.
Like
well, it's just D&D is just fantasy with rules.
Yeah.
We should play. Have you heard of Fiasco?
Mm-mm.
That's how that we should do that. It's a game that essentially it's like a cone. It's a pen and paper game like Dungeons and Dragons, but it's you make like a Coen Brothers movie essentially, and you establish relationships between each other. So you know it's like we're coworkers, and then you roll another dice, and it's like okay, actually we're coworkers, and you're gonna be the boss, and then we share a location, and that's like the place, and then me and Dez we're family members, and then he's gonna be the older brother, and as you do that, you start getting all these relationships, and then you each choose a scene, you start doing scenes one by one, and when you do a scene you can either decide to establish it and then you can't decide what happens in the scene, everybody else does, or you can decide to finish the scene, conclude it, and then everybody else establishes the scene.
That's cool.
And then you finish it. And it takes like 2 hours, and then by the end it's like everybody's murdered each other, like most people are dead.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I've read the book, I know the rules, like we should do it. I keep wanting to do it.
Writing exercise is the game.
It is. It's
to be fair,
that's
D&D is also actually.
Mm-hmm. That's true too. Mm-hmm. Do you guys still D&D?
Not
recently, it's very sporadic.
We should do that.
Yeah.
We should do that.
What's that one called?
It requires like 3-4 hour sessions.
I hear Pathfinder is the new hotness, by the way.
I feel like Sam and Logan in a D&D campaign.
That'd be amazing.
We did it, and the last time Logan and myself played D&D, it ended with Logan fully nude erect.
Trying to
in game, trying to successfully intimidating people. Wait, wait, was he fully nude and erect in real life?
No.
Or just in the game?
Just in the game.
Because that would be impressive if it was in real life.
Both.
He was just intimidating. Roll that dice.
No. It was,
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was like right around when Four Loko came out, and he was like, guys, you should have some Four Loko. And I was like, all right.
Logan has some pretty funny D&D stories, and he has this like, ability to roll 20s right when he needs them.
God, yes.
Yo, tell a story about when he was playing with Jason and he ruined the game.
That's the best. I played with Jason too, and I totally get this. I totally understand how he DMs.
So our friend Jason is like hardcore, like into the fan. Like when it says like
by the rules. When he's so by the rules. Like yeah. I was like, Jason, I need some arrows for my frickin' bow. And he was like, all right, the arrow shop's over here. I spent an hour getting to the arrow shop, and then he realizes he forgot the book that has all the arrow stats in it, and so I can't buy any arrows. I'm like, dude, just make up an arrow. So that, he's that kind of DM.
So and also when it's like, oh, hey, you're DMing, it's like, I'm going to need 3 weeks to write out the backstory and draw the maps. And so he's like, he's hardcore. He just puts all this
super
effort
hardcore.
Into it.
That's cool.
So and he has all these eventualities planned, characters, voices, etc. Logan is the force of sheer chaos.
Yeah.
So it's like it's the pure opposite of what Jason is.
So at some point, the rowdy, hearty band of adventurers gets captured by the villain of the story, and they get thrown into the dungeon, and the villain, you know, slides the little eye hole open into the cell and cackles, and Jason's very clearly take like this is his big like bad guy speech moment. He's like, okay, it's like, so he opens the door and starts talking, he's like, you fools, you heroes think that you, and then Logan goes, I run up to the door and stab him through the hole.
Because Jason forgot to disarm the characters, by the way.
Yeah, and so there's this pause, stunned silence, where he's like, what? There's a stunned silence for a moment. It's like, what? But it's like, yeah, I still have my sword. And like the hole's open, so I try and stab him through the hole. And Jason goes, roll natty 20 right off the bat. Rolls it. He's like, No.
That's just the first roll to see if you hit, but then it's also a crit, and you have to roll again.
That means he rolled two 20s.
But here's the thing. So he rolls it. It's like, okay, I guess you hit him, because he had like a huge like penalty for having to hit that little hole, but he rolls a 20. It's like, okay, well, you hit him. But it's also crit range, so let's roll again to see if you land the critical hit. And Logan rolls another 20. Now, one of the main
Jason's
house,
exploding by now.
One of the main house
like he's already bullshitting this because like he should have just hit him right away. He's like, oh, that's a crit.
But the house rule for two 20s in a row is insta kill. And Logan kills the main villain right then and there through the eye hole.
Like in the first half hour of the game.
Because I imagine Jason had written so much stuff.
Yep.
He had stacks of
what
maps.
What did he do? Did he like, want to try again?
I don't know.
It was quiet, and he was like, hold on a second. I need to figure this out. Because it's just so completely
that's
out.
That's amazing.
But that's Logan. Yeah. That's the force of chaos right there. You invite that into your D&D game, you get exactly what you deserve.
Wasn't there also going to be like a marsh expedition? They had to go across a marsh with a bunch of monsters, and they just burned it down instead.
That's great.
Logan was saying the way Logan's character finally died was they were in an airship, and he decided like they were flying bat creatures, and Logan's just like, I jump out and grab onto one of them and try and kill it, and he managed like successfully through his roles like grab onto and kill like four of them before plummeting to his death. Oh my god,
that's amazing.
I would love to see a D&D campaign with you almost need Jason to DM it.
How do you play Sam?
What do you mean?
Are you like a force of nature? Or
I usually do the DMing, try and wrangle everything together.
Sam's pretty good about coming up with good scenarios while we're playing. And like I mentioned, it's actually a good writing exercise, because what you learn is a good plot doesn't come from putting like plot points and like forcing them on people. You make a bunch of interesting characters, and you just have interesting situations, and how those characters react in those situations is when you get interesting plot points.
Well, it's usually just trying to find a character who naturally starts clashing with one of you guys, and that way all I gotta do is sit there and then argue against one of you forever, and that's it.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting.
But then it goes places because of that, so... Yeah.
All right. Well, one of these
there
days.
There you go.
Yeah.
One of these days.
One of these days.
That.
Actually, 1 p.m. Sunday is that day. Adam Lyons and myself might go play.
Michael.
Oh, and by the way, we gotta go LARP sometime. Like, real LARP. Yeah.
Adam's doing that too. LARP. He's doing more of that. He's running events now in Texas.
Just LARP events.
Yeah. He's like the whole Ren Faire down. It's like this huge thing with battlements and like taverns and villages and stuff. Like, it's huge.
Sounds right up your alley, Sam.
Yeah, it's great.
Anyway, I think we're actually getting to the end of our time together, our brief and hilarious time together here.
You guys got anything cool going on you want to plug while you're here?
Well,
I'm going to shoot another video next week.
Yeah, we're going to shoot a video.
Actually,
I mean, we're working on a whole bunch of stuff. It's just like, it's in such early stages that, like, you know, likely, you know, one or two might not end up happening, but I don't know.
Here's the thing. Yeah. People have probably noticed that our channel has been actually a lot slower to release stuff the past couple of months.
No.
And the reason for that is because we're actually trying to develop our big project, our version of VGHS. It won't actually probably be an episodic series.
It's that tether video thing that everyone keeps talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
So there you guys are working on that. I just saw some concept art for it. It's pretty grand. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And so we're doing that and a couple other things. And
we're trying to put together a Blu-ray, actually, of all our stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. So if you guys like our videos, you can own them in super high
definition. Yeah, we're going to be opening a website, and we're going to have a store, and you're going to be able to buy shirts and Blu-rays.
Look at Jake. Jake
was very good, Jake.
Jake was just like, all right, what money? Let's talk about this. Here's what we're doing, guys. Back here now.
Also, the other day, Nico, Nico was mentioning Power Rangers, and we're thinking, you know how cool it would be to make a good Power Rangers movie?
Dude, it would be super cool. Like, we were just watching Forever Red.
No,
Forever Red is amazing.
Like, a good one. Like, you take the best elements of, like...
Forever Red's good.
Take the best elements of, like, Iron Man and, like, Pacific Rim and stuff, and, like... put Power Rangers in those mech suits. Like, that's what it would be.
Super Power Rangers.
So, Super Power Rangers, Tether. Where can we find you guys on Twitter?
@ Corridor Digital.
That's where you can... @ Corridor Digital.
Nice.
Well, you can find us
on Twitter.
@ Corridor Digital.
Jake, do you have a Twitter?
@ JP Watson.
Boom.
Nice.
Boom.
You guys are also selling some stuff on the Rocket Jump store, right?
Yes, we are, yes.
So until you get your sign up, you can come get some Corridor gear.
It just so happens...
at the Rocket Jump store.
One of our biggest viral hits of all time, The Glitch. Right at the end of it says, get our shirts on the Rocket Jump. So,
boom.
Rocket Jump. You can always go there and safely find our shirts.
Safely.
From a trusted location.
Do you trust the certificate? You should. Anyway, guys, thank you for stopping by. It was a lot of fun. We should get some D&D going. And we play video games all the time anyway, so it was all good.
We should do this more often.
Dude,
it's good hanging out with
you guys. This formal goodbye is like, makes me feel so sad.
I know. It's okay, Nico. You don't actually have to leave. We can sit around and talk about video games.
Somewhere this file keeps playing.
Oh, you know what you should do? You should just fade out, right? So like the fade out starts now, but it's like
you shouldn't start just fade out. You gotta wait until we get to the interesting bit, and you're like, wait, actually, you want to wait? No, you have to keep
that
playing
part
that part.
Story.
Oh yeah,
like in songs, one. Like some songs actually save the the best part.
Did I ever tell you guys about the one time I found a dead body outside the apartment?
Wait.
Next to the tree of life.
You have to probably
let me go get some more beers.
Take it away.
So I'm gonna get some food and some drinks.
And like, there's this garbage bag right outside my apartment.